following presentation, Janet Network Resilience, was given by Dave Tinkler of Janet at Network Shop 42 in April 2014.
Morning, I'm Dave Tinkler from the Janet Network Operations Centre, and what I'm going to talk about is the resilience features of the Janet Network. We're going to start with a definition of what I mean by resilience in this context, and then we're going to go on to look at an overview of the Janet 6, the new Janet 6 network, both of the fibre and the IP infrastructure. And then we're going to look at the resilient features of the POPs on the Janet 6 network, the points of presence, that is, the topology and the capacity and also the equipment. So if we start with a definition of what we mean by resilience in this context, and what we mean is that the capacity of the Janet IP service is sufficient to pass the peak traffic on Janet in the event of a single failure. So that could be a failure of a fibre duct or a fibre, a point of presence power feed or some form of environment failure in a point of presence, any form of equipment component failure such as a line card, a power supply or a processor, or a failure of one of our internet peering routers. So a quick sort of overview of the new Janet 6 network. It's based around a dark fibre infrastructure provided by SSET, and on top of that we run Sienna DWDM equipment, which is managed at the Janet Network Operations Centre. And that combination provides us with the UK-wide circuit infrastructure. And on top of that, we run the Janet IP service using Juniper T4000 core routers, with each of the regional networks connected to the core at two regional network entry points. So looking at that diagrammatically, this is a diagram of the fibre network. There are core POPs shown in blue. Those are POPs where there is optical equipment, the DWDM equipment, and also Janet routing equipment. Transmission POPs are shown as the grey circles. They're POPs with just optical equipment supporting multiple fibre directions. And then you can see the different regional networks. So for example, the Southwest regional network connected to two different core POPs. So that's the fibre network, and on top of that is overlaid a network of circuits. So if we look at the core mainly, these orange coloured lines are 100 gigabit links. So we've got a 100 gigabit core in the north and a 200 gigabit core in the south. With connections to internet peering points at Manchester, a small one at Leeds, and the two main ones at the Docklands 2 and the Docklands 3 POPs, including a peering to Jayon. That's obviously for all the traffic external to Janet. And under normal operations, the way Janet works is that traffic going through the Docklands 3 POP would be traffic from the west side of Janet, and traffic going through the Docklands 2 POP would normally be traffic from the east side of Janet, with obviously the northern sites also using the peering points at Manchester. Okay, so that's a sort of a brief overview of the Janet 6 network. So now we're going to look at the resilient features of that network in terms of the points of presence, topology, capacity, and equipment. So from the point of presence point of view, we obviously need to have redundant power into the POPs. We have two independent power feeds, each with UPS backed by generator and batteries as well, so that we don't run out of power. But some of our power requirements are quite challenging, even for people like SSET who generate stuff. The core routers have two power supplies, and each of those needs 6 100-amp DC feeds. And that then leads into what they need to provide for the environment. And you know, with a fully loaded router, we'd be looking for them to have to take, you know, to take 24 kilowatts of power away from the core box. For the connections to for each pot, we need two physically diverse entry ducts into the pot so that we can provide diverse fibre routes out of it. In terms of topology, the key element to providing resilience in any fibre network topology is the use of rings, as it gives you the ability to provide diverse circuits between any two sites on the ring, one way around the ring and the other way around the ring. And also for the connection for each regional network, we need to make sure that the regional network is connected to two different core POPs, and that those connections are physically diverse. So we'll look at those topology requirements sort of diagrammatically. This is the core fibre network with the regional networks taken out, and you can see it's based around three rings, a sort of northern ring, a middle ring, and a southern ring. So we've got the ring topology requirement in there. And then overlaid on that are the core circuits. Again, most of the circuits follow the fibre topology, so again you can see a northern ring, a middle ring, and a southern ring. As an example of a resilient connection, if the fibre from Glasgow to Manchester goes, Glasgow POP still has a physically diverse backup connection to Leeds. Unfortunately, this is a slightly older copy of my presentation. There's an error on this slide. These two 100 gig circuits between the Docklands POPs don't exist. So try and blank them out from your mind. But what we do have is resilient circuits from Docklands 2 up to Docklands 1, and two 100 gig circuits from Docklands 2 to Birmingham. And these take the route over the dark fibre that goes between the Docklands 2 and Docklands 3 and goes up to Birmingham. So this pair of 100 gig circuits and this pair of 100 gig circuits from the Docklands 2 POP are physically resilient. And the same applies to the two from Docklands 3. Again, we need to provide resilient connections to regional networks, and I've taken an example of the southwest region for this one. So this is the southwest POP at the RNET, the regional network entry point at the University of Bristol, and that has a 20 gigabit connection to the core POP at Bristol. This is the southwest regional network entry point at the University of West of England, and that has a 20 gigabit connection to the London West core POP. And these are, this is the fibre infrastructure, this is the optical equipment at the Bristol core POP at the University of Bristol and the University of West of England. And you can see that this 20 gigabit circuit runs over that fibre, whereas this 20 gigabit circuit runs over those fibres down to a transmission site of Roxfield through an amplifier site of Reading to London. So the two are completely physically diverse. Okay, so that's the topology side of things. Moving on to the capacity side of things, we're going to do some slightly scary things to the network and start removing things and see what the effect of them is. The first thing we're going to do is consider removing one of the internet peering points. This table shows the uplink capacity from our peering routers at the three different peering points. So we've got 160 gigabits at the two Docklands sites and 80 gigabits at the Manchester site. After we've removed a peering router, we're going to start cutting fibres in the network and seeing what the effect of that is. So firstly, we've removed the internet peering router at Docklands 2. That's gone completely in the diagram. I should say we've only removed the internet peering router, not the optical equipment, because that's a separate thing. So we've removed that, so we've got Docklands 3 is still connected to the various peering points at 160 gig, and we've got about 80 gig appearing in Manchester. And we've also, with these circuits here, got 400 gigabits of capacity going into the Docklands 3 POP from the rest of Janet. So we're in reasonably good shape if an internet peering router fails. Now we're going to get out our mythical JCB and start cutting through some fibres. And this is a slightly more detailed fibre diagram of the section between the London West POP and the Bristol POP. So there's London West, there's Bristol. And what we're going to do is cut through the fibre duct here. And that will lose three fibres. It will lose the core fibre from the London West site to Bristol. We will lose a regional fibre going to TBN and a regional fibre going to the Janet South region. So this is what the fibre network looks like after the JCB has done its work. We've lost the connection from London West to Bristol. We've lost the TBN connection to London West. And we've lost the connection from Janet South to London West as well. That doesn't look too bad, but with any DWDM network, you've got multiple circuits running over the same bit of fibre. So in the next slide, we're going to look at what that means in terms of circuits. And we've lost quite a few more. We've lost the connection from London West to Birmingham. That was 200 gigabits. We've lost 100 gigabits from London West to Bristol. And all the regional networks on the west side of Janet have lost one of their connections. They've all lost their connection to London West, all of those sites. And because all of those connections, most of those connections ran over the single fibre between London West and Bristol. However, we're still in good shape. All these sites can still transfer their data through the Bristol POP into Birmingham, where it will pass through to Nottingham and then back out of the Docklands 3 site. And the aggregate capacity of these links can be met with this 100 gig link from Bristol to Birmingham. So even with a JCB going through the fibre, we're still able to carry on with the same sort of levels of capacity. So that's a sort of capacity resilience. Now we're going to look at resilience in the optical and routing equipment on Janet. With the routing equipment, we have two power supplies. We have two route processors, and they run features which are non-stop routing and graceful switchover, which minimise the time taken for the router to recover or to transfer its routing operations from one processor to the other. And the other thing we do on routers is to make sure that we use different line cards for circuits in different directions for added resilience. On the optical equipment, we use dual power supplies and dual processors, and at all sites we've got more than one optical shelf. So what we try and do is identify directions where backup traffic is going to flow and directions where normal traffic flows, and put those optical components in separate shelves so that even a shelf failure won't cause us a problem. And we'll look at a sort of example of that. So this is a connection at Birmingham. Can I go back? We're going to look at the connection coming out of Birmingham. If we lost the fibre south from Birmingham to London West, we would lose all of these circuits, and we would want the traffic to reroute on the east direction from Birmingham towards Nottingham. So effectively what this fate sharing is that this, we want everything involved in this easterly direction to be separated from everything involved in this southerly direction. That's what we're trying to achieve with the equipment resilience. If I then fast forward right back to the... So you can see that firstly the southern fibre goes out of a separate duct to the fibre going through to Nottingham. the optical components in the shelf that support this fibre direction are in a different shelf to the optical components supporting this fibre direction. And in the router, we've got one line, a separate line card for the circuits to, now that this is also corrected in the newer version of the slides, that should be the 200 gig circuits to London West, not Bristol. But so those circuits running south of Birmingham are running into a separate shelf from the two backup circuit, 100 gig circuits, which are running east to Nottingham. So so we've looked at the various resilient features of the Janet 6 core network. I think we've got plenty of time left for any questions.
Thanks, Dave. Excellent. Are there any questions for Dave at this point?
Jim Robinson from Chatham. Do we ever test this? I'm just putting my ex-regional networking hat on where you made us test it. Do we ever actually test any of this? Do we get enough failures that...
I was going to say, some of our suppliers are very happy to help us test. No, we don't test it routinely. I guess there are quite a lot of independent ways of independent ways it can fail. And we have had a few tests of these. I think in particular recently an SSET engineer managed to test the resilience of the power gate site.
Yeah, I mean, I know we used to test it, and we always used to, it's a total waste of time. But the only time we ever actually had one that mattered was we discovered we'd left a software fix in a router, and that router could no longer cope with all the traffic. It was something you would probably never have spotted without actually doing the resilience test.
Yeah. But
the resilience test is there, that you go wonderfully and you get nice feeling, or you break something that was working.
Yeah.
And then you can't use that in the first place.
Do we have any more?
Chris Andrews, Social Research Service. Just out of interest, how often does somebody put JCB through and find it
out? Well, actually, I don't think I can remember it happening.
I've had it happen
once. Have you? Right. It's actually more often an engineer from a maintenance company who does, because particularly with the fibres, they can pull the wrong fibre, or more typically start work on the fibre before they've told you they're there. You find out they're there when something goes down. It's actually more. It is more sort of less a JCB and more human error.
Yeah, we had a supplier
seize our
circuit.
Yeah,
they
touched
the wrong number
instead. That happens quite frequently. You guys, how many times you've got to read the telcos or the telco station? I mean, the other thing you get on that sort of very complicated system is you miss the fact that you're working on the resilient circuit, that the resilient circuit's actually in use. And I had a telco come on, oh, we're just going to do some work on this. And he said, oh, that's fine. You know, it's just a result, it's just a backup circuit.
Yeah.
And then they turn it off, and you realise that the primary circuit has actually been down for the last 2 days as well. But it's always wonderful resilience, has made nobody's notice.
Any more questions for Dave? Can I ask, just for a show of hands really, about how many of you are concerned about resilience within your organisation? I'm trying to find someone who hasn't put their hand up. Who doesn't work for Janet and who hasn't put their hand up. And how many of you have enough budget to support the resilient aims of your organisation? That's pretty good. I remember when I actually ran an IT with an organisation that we had our resilience budget removed 1 year, and so I decided, this is another reason why you might want to do testing. I brought our chief executive down and I asked him which cables he wanted to pull out of which bits of equipment, and so he did, and so we tested it based on that, and he paid up next year, and he paid up the year after as well.
I mean, I think one thing that Janet's doing that helps that are the dashboards. We have these dashboards that sort of report on all the performance of the network, and one of the things we've got on them now are, basically it's incidents that would have happened if we hadn't have had resilience. So you will see one of the sites in the Northwest, 100% no problem. You look at the list and it was actually one of the two links was off six times in the year. Yeah. And that's something that the thing working with the JSC, I was always trying to emphasise that we're spending all this money on resilience and we've got to tell the paymasters that this money actually worked, because otherwise, as you say, they think, oh, what do you need that for? Yeah. It never fails, we'll take it away.
Yeah, well, the example of that fiver failure at Christmas between Janet South to Aldershot, to Southampton rather, and that was, for various reasons, that was down for nearly a week, and yet, of course, it didn't affect the IP traffic at all because the other one kept, the other link can go.
Any last questions for Dave or even for Andy? No? If not, could we thank Dave?
This recording was brought to you by Janet Training as part of NetWorkshop Online. Further information is available on our website at www.ja.net/training.